Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is Stu Weber at StuWeb.com, and it is Saturday, January the 29th, 2022. And I have the honor to have a whistleblower, Debbie Davis, on, and I have the honor to have Professor Joe on. But before I bring him up, I want to bring a couple subjects up. I think people ought to understand. You know, we're having this big issue up in Canada right now, or the Canadians are. Oh, and Conway Trucking, and the truckers have been basically protesting the fact that everybody in Canada is going to have to be vaccinated like they're trying to do in Australia. And now Jim Fetzer said they're rounding up in Australia and putting them in concentration camps and threatening to behead them if they don't take the COVID vaccination. Now, Canada has a problem. Trudeau's hiding out. And now, this is top secret, folks. This came from an ex-spook. Trudeau is Fidel Castro's son. I'm going to repeat that. Trudeau, the Prime Minister of Canada, I think is his position. Trudeau is Fidel Castro's son. Now, that came from a spook friend of mine. There's another subject I want to bring up, because I'm happy about the Canadians up there raising hell over the vaccination. The third thing I find very interesting is Joe Biden planned a trip over to, I believe it was what, Pennsylvania, Virginia, wherever it was, that this bridge collapsed. And he planned his trip 4 to 5 days before the bridge collapsed, folks. And he's over there giving a speech at the time the bridge collapsed. I call that a black ops. That's too coincidental. All pushing for repair to pass his bill for road infrastructure repairs and bridge repairs. And he was over there that he got defeated on here just this past week. He's over there giving a speech, planning it in advance. And if you want my opinion, point the finger right at E-Systems of Dallas, Texas. The death ray took care of that bridge. At that, you can say what you want. But I welcome you, Debbie, on. And I welcome you, Joel, Professor Joel. And today we're going to talk about a lot of different subjects, but one of them is Arizona. So with that said, Debbie, would you like to touch on that?
Well, I think we both have, for the last few months, I think the way that we've been attacked would just confirm the level of corruption we were trying to expose on our last call, right?
Yeah.
And we've both been under such attack that just confirms how high it goes in Arizona. So it relates to, you know, we've been exposing more and more different things about John McCain in different calls, and then we get attacked like crazy. So it just keeps going higher and higher with him, you know, what he was involved in. And now it's coming out that, you know, he's actually been a part of this Kazarian mafia that they're now finding out has been, like, the secret funding for the deep state in the Ukraine. And that's why it puts in the news now is the issue going on there, which I noticed that the media has tried to skew it. But what's really going on is they're going after the deep state, the Kazarian mafia, who's actually been funding the deep state in the Ukraine. And like the secret descendants of the giant, they're the Amorites. They were and McCain was a part of that as well. So this is how high it goes in Arizona. It goes all the way. It was also related to the Ukraine, apparently.
Well, so, I know that John.
These are. I have to remember the Kazarian mafia, and so I've been researching this a little bit. And the Kazarian mafia were part of working with Hitler. They were part way back then working with Hitler, where they were part of helping steal all the relics and different things like that. And they, you know, how Hitler was stealing all these relics. And they were involved in that way back when. They're a secret Zionist Rothschild mob, you know. So they're the ultimate destruction of humanity. They're the ultimate Antichrist. The Rothschilds are the, you know, the Illuminati bloodline, satanic bloodline. So this is just pure evil. It's not anything like, you know, some drug running mafia. You know, we're talking like a whole different level of evil here. They're like anti-humanity mafia, and that's what they're going after right now. But and there was a movie about called The Monuments Men, that was actually based on a true story where they actually went in and helped recover some of those relics that the Khazarian Mafia had stolen with Hitler. It was a movie about it, and I was looking into that, too. So if people want to look into that movie, they can check that movie out. This is the Khazarian Mafia was involved in all of this for years.
Now, I'll tell you something, because I was locked up with some real heavyweights, Iran-Contra whistleblowers, or not whistleblowers, but Iran-Contra players, Super Spook Otis Johnson and others. And I found out that Leonard Melman acted, he was working at the OSS, along with Daddy Bush, and the Khazarian Mafia, which you call them, made an agreement, Meyer Lansky crowd, his boss, also, Melman. He made a deal with Adolf Hitler to have those Jews, and Melman ran the operation, to take all of the paintings and so forth that Hitler had stolen, and they put it on with a layer of colonels that Hitler trusted as protection, protected those paintings. Now, Melman ran off with the paintings, and they killed the Nazis, and they stole the paintings. Part of those painting folks are in the basement of the the something museum. What do they call it?
Smithsonian?
Yeah, and also in the museum under the University of Wyoming in Cheyenne is filled with the stuff. Those are two places that they can find them in the sub-basements. Melman made donations to those places of them.
Well, in Wyoming was where Cheney was, and he was in on everything, too.
Dickie Boy has been in on everything.
Cheney, yeah.
And this nutcase, Lesbo nutcase, fruitcake daughter of his, it's unbelievable. I mean, that's a mentally insane woman. And she was doing a lot of dirty stuff at the State Department. You know what? I'll explain something to you. The U.S. State Department is used for one purpose, and that's to fill the pockets of a certain crime syndicate that is in control, these 13 above the president, and their little game that they do. So Iran wants to buy some oil equipment, as an example. All of a sudden, instead of being from some drilling manufacturer $1 million, the State Department collects an extra $2 million on top of it to sell them the wells. Dick Cheney's daughter was in charge of that operation where they were filling their pockets when she was at the State Department. She was embezzling money of the U.S. government. She shouldn't be a senator.
Also, and she's also, I had somebody reach out to me that was big into animal rights and save the Mustangs, because they're trying to round them up in Wyoming and Montana. And it turns out that somebody, you know, these satanic rings are actually, since they've been cutting off human trafficking, they were going after the animals. They were trying to go after the human Mustangs, and then they would also use those. They would, and the donkeys, and they were torturing them to death and also getting adrenochrome out of them. And so this became wind to some animal rights groups, and they've been trying to save the Mustangs from Wyoming that Liz Cheney has been trying to round up for torture. These people are sick.
They're evil. Now, Joe, you want to jump in on this for a minute?
No, go ahead. Keep going. You're doing fine.
Go ahead, Debbie.
Yeah, well, I mean, USADA is involved in some of these animal rights. She's been trying to save the wild Mustangs and the horses. And what they'd like to do, apparently, is skin them alive. Skin them alive or burn them or whatever, and it's part of it. And they can also get adrenochrome from the animals. Liz Cheney has been involved in that in Wyoming. And so this one woman reached out to me and that has been seeing some of my videos and was telling me all about that. And I did a video exposing Liz Cheney on my channel a few months back.
Give out your channel real quick.
What's that?
Give out your channel.
Yeah, Debbie David. So I'm on YouTube, Debbie Davis, and you can type in Arizona National Guard whistleblower, and you'll find my channel. If you have a hard time, it's just Debbie Davis. That'll pop up.
Okay. Now.
So, okay, with Stu now trying to help put some pieces to together with Arizona with Joel and, you know, some of his other guests and Penny Shepherd, and we kind of put some pieces together because I've been terrorized ever since I became an accidental witness to a crime at the Arizona Natural Guard, and it's gone on for 10 years now. I've been targeted, and it hasn't stopped.
It never will. I've been targeted for, I'm in my 38th year of it, just for blowing a whistle. Now, I blew the whistle on this guy named John McCain, but they called it the Keating 5, but it was actually the MDC 200. That was the scandal in 1990, and I had the Arizona Republic, and I had Brian Quigg over at the, what was the name of that paper that they the homeless was handing out, Joe?
The Grapevine.
Yeah, the Grapevine. And so they were selling them at the, and making them money to where they could eat, selling them for $1 or $2 at the store or the corners, and they were feeding them. But they did a tremendous amount of work, and a good friend of Brian's became a good friend of mine. They killed Quigg, by the way, and it was Ted Gunderson crowd and others that did it. I know who did it, but I went after John McCain pretty heavy because I helped put him in Charles Keating in jail. But McCain, I went after him because I found all these illegal political campaign money laundering, not only to him, but all these candidates across the United States. And I got a congressional hearings on it. You can't get congressional hearings now, folks, because they're too controlled by the mafia that she just spoke of. It's this Jewish crime syndicate among the German crime syndicate of the Bushes. Okay? Now, Keating I helped put in jail because the private investigators with the LaRock law firm out of San Diego that sued him and got a $2.5 billion judgment, put him in jail for fraud, and he was supposed to serve, I don't remember, 8 years or something, and he served about 4 years, and he got out. Now, Charles Keating was kind of a big front man for him down there, and he was just Lincoln Savings, he was looting his shit out of. And he built a big, what's the name of that thing up there by, where Millman had his house up there on Biltmore Estates, Joel. There's that hotel. What's the name of it?
Biltmore.
Yeah, that's it, Biltmore. Now, Mizell built a house in there later, but Millman had a house, and then he built a new one and sold the old one. And the radio guy that lives in on the end, it's a big circle, folks. But there's a road now that cuts across the end, and it goes for a long ways over to a huge hotel. What's the name of this hotel that's got, it was a $300 million loss to Lincoln Savings. And it has like 20 swimming pools going down the side of the mountain. What's the name of that place, Joe?
I can't think of it right now, Stuart.
Okay, but I mean, they got gold handles on the in the bathrooms and the whole bit. That was a Charles Keating theft. All those assets of Charles Keating's were moved during that Keating trial, where MDC Holdings, the parent company of Silverado Savings, Neil Bush director, laundered Iran-Contra drug money. It happens to be that MDC was involved moving $12.5 trillion of Keating's stolen loot, including, it was called, not the Keating Homes, but he had another one. He had a building company down there. And
Continental
Homes ended up in Leonard Millman's control, and MDC ran off with $12.5 billion they stole. Keating goes to jail. MDC settled. They committed fraud upon the court, and the court didn't do anything to them because I reported to the court about it. Nobody would do anything. But they committed fraud by saying that the transaction that they had involved was with MDC Land Corp. They created a little corporation, and they paid a $200,000 fine and ran off a $12.5 billion, folks, MDC. Now, Richmond American Homes is a big established builder there as well, and that's MDC. Its parent company, its subsidiary is Richmond American. Now, I'll just ask you, Joe. Originally, Meyer Lansky controlled politics in Arizona. Then who took over for him, and who now controls? Just answer that question, would you?
Well, in actuality, Stu, there is the Brofman family, which is a big Jewish mafia family.
Yep, they were part of the Meyer Lansky crowd.
And that goes back all the way back to 1947, when they came out here and set up rat lines to bring in heroin from the state of Sinaloa. So that goes back all the way, the corruption goes all the way back to 1947.
And the Brofmans are Seagram 7, liquor. Joe?
And that, oh wow, so that, yeah, and Cindy McCain's family is involved in that, and involved in that, right?
Yep, well, go ahead, Joe.
Comes in because Cindy McCain was the daughter of a gangster that was, I can't think of the guy that was sent out here from, to represent the Brofman family.
I know who you're speaking of, but he never really showed up on the map too much.
Yeah. And so what happened was that a guy was going to get prosecuted that was the son of this gangster. And he took the fall. And that was Cindy McCain's father. And so, and because he took the hit and was sent out to Florence for 5 years, as a reward, he was given the Budweiser distributorship here in Maricopa County.
That's all true, folks. Now,
so that is where Cindy McCain comes in. And when John McCain, who came back here, divorced his wife with worked very hard for the release of the POWs during Vietnam. He divorced her and they married up with McCain and our Cindy, and from then on became John McCain and the Arizona corruption.
Now, I'll add something to John McCain. Cindy McCain, there's a story in punch on my search box on my website, stuweb.com, punch in Cindy McCain. She was selling the chemicals. Here, John McCain's on the head of the Armed Services Committee. Cindy McCain is shipping with her Budweiser distributorship water and beer to the troops in Afghanistan. But what she was also doing was she was shipping some kind of chemical they needed to melt down into paste the heroin or whatever. What was it coming out of Afghanistan? But it melts it down. And they actually put a front dry cleaning business in there. How many people in a war zone have a dry cleaning? Debbie, I never heard of that being in the Marine Corps. So,
yeah, I mean, you have to get the laundry, but you don't have dry cleaning normally over there.
Yeah. And then Jeb Bush was using the drones to fly it back to Missouri, Knobnostor, Missouri, out here east of us in Kansas City. But, and then that stopped. And it changed from there to Hollywood, Florida, at the airport down there. And there's a hangar down there. And that hangar belonged to L. Millman, and N. Bush, as in Neil Bush, was the deed on that hangar. And it was used during all of Iran-Contra and Jeb Bush and his drugs, because someone was collecting money. And this was a spook that I got to know. He says, I took $10 million of the drug money, went around, collected from the different bars and stuff. And he says, I took it to put it in the deal. We all had to sign off on it and put our tab in there and how much we put in. And if it came up short, he says, you end up dead. So anyway, he goes and pulls the door open. Money starts falling out, about $10 million on top of what he had. So he got the door closed, called him. Hey, I didn't run off with the money. I got the money in my trunk. Next morning, he was there giving him the money. But this is what goes on. Now,
let me interrupt you here, Stuart.
Go ahead.
The gangster that was sent out here by the Brofman family was Joe Bananas.
Yeah, that's it. That's it. And
that was born in 1947.
Now, let me make another tie with Brofman. Brofman bought, Millman took over ABC with Mickey Mouse. He took over Disney World. And Daddy Bush took over NBC. And it was all done with these corporations from Hollywood they had set up. And they took them over, and Brofman's took over the other network, CBS, I think it was. Now, he died a while back, the one that was in charge, the Elder Brofman character. He was the gangster that you're talking about, Joe, I believe, or it might have been his son. But they were all answering to, Brofman was answering to, and so was Milman, Meyer Lansky. And when Meyer died, Milman took over that empire. Then when Milman died in 2004, who takes over, Joe? You there, Joe?
Yeah, Leonard Melman.
Leonard Melman, and then it became Larry Mizell. Larry Mizell controls politics in Arizona now. He is the head Jewish mob. Now, he's one of the 12 disciples of Satan. And Otis had told me, super spooked, he said, whatever lived in your ex-father-in-law lived for thousands of years before he inhabited him, Stu. And he said, now it is inhabiting Larry Mizell. Now, I watched when Milman died. I watched $120 trillion in properties, businesses, etc., transfer out of the control of Leonard Milman into Larry Mizell. And it was Norman Brownstein was acting as the attorney on the behalf. Brownstein was on the board of directors with Neil Bush at Silverado when they were looting down there, looting Lincoln Savings and the whole bit. Also, Brownstein was the head counsel for Daddy Bush when he was CIA director. And Bill Barr, the former attorney general, answered to him and was involved in the illegal invasion of Panama as well at that time. But Milman, or Brownstein, controls basically, there's six counsel, former counsel of the CIA, they call them, that were all underneath Daddy Bush. They're in control of hundreds of trillions of dollars for the 12 disciples of Satan. That is Rockefeller, Rothschild, Ansgar Ben Sheri, the head rabbi in Israel, Pope Benedict, who resigned over his pedophilia, Leonard Milman was, now it's Mizell, Rothschild, Rockefeller, Bill Grace of Grace and Company, Patrick Wu of China. He likes to live in Dallas. He buys a lot of property from Mizell down there. And the Canadian Brofman connection would help build Dallas. Then let's see, who else have we got? I miss it. Warburg. And then there's one other. Anyway, these are the ones that are possessed, according to Otis Johnson. Super Spook said that they were registered at the NSA under the Alien Agreement of 1952 to 212 that was extended. Now, this Alien Agreement is where we got technology, flying saucers, because my friend John Lear, he's been on with me in the past, John's father owned Lear Jets and built the saucers for the government after he sold Lear Jets in 1952, and he built 150 saucers for the United States Air Force. So we've got a force out there. Now, Joe, you talked yesterday's show, you mentioned the fact that you had seen a battle above you of saucers. Let's talk about that direction, because Arizona plays a big part in this.
Well, this happened at 2:30 in the morning, and I watched these little pin lights above me because I would go laid out at night in the backyard and watch the sky for satellites and other high-flying aircraft. And from the southwest, traveling to the northeast were these little pin lights, and they traveled at such a speed that they were not satellites, they were not high-flying jet aircraft, they were flying too fast. 12 of them came by, and they did this for four nights in a row, and on the fourth night, out of one side of the direction that these pin lights were flying, I saw a streak of white light, and it enveloped one of the pin lights, and you could see it was an explosion, but it didn't do any damage to it, it just kept on going. And there are people that are, what they're saying is, this is confirmed by Ed Slade and William Tompkins, and that's another long story, but we won't get into it.
And Ed's up on my site, folks. Just punch his name in, and there's audio with him. Go ahead, Joe.
So what they said was is that I was on the end of the line when Ed Slade said, we have been on the moon since 1962. We have been on Mars since 1968. And it is confirmed by William Tompkins, who worked for NASA, and he said, essentially, we have this space war going on above our heads, led by the United States Navy. Now, what Stu has done is to describe some of the big movers and shakers of what is called, what is nicknamed the Khazarian Mafia. So go ahead, Debbie, and finish your story.
Oh, well.
Tell us about John McCain. All about John McCain. What you know about him. Lay it down about
Well, you know, that's interesting that you mentioned something about Dallas, the Dallas connection, that Ruga is one of the fallen angels. And Dallas, because even before I became a whistleblower, I lived years ago in 2000 in Dallas, and I was being targeted by the police there, even before I was a whistleblower or anything. Like, maybe they have ways of knowing, you know, maybe I had an angel, you know, watching me or something, because they were picking me up way back then. Now, how does that work? I don't know. But I was starting to be targeted way back then in Dallas. And
I believe, Debbie, that they look at space-time. Like Nikola Tesla, anybody can punch him in the internet, is the Nikola Tesla Society in Colorado Springs. I spoke to her at a Patriot group. Saw his working machine. This was free energy. This was alien technology given to J.P. Morgan years ago, around 19-something, early 1900s. And it was drawings of two wheels spinning against each other, magnetic, magnets on it, wood wheels. And he put it on his bench, and they made a movie about it, and his bench went sideways. Then he turned the thing, and it lifted the bench up, anti-gravity. Then he turned it faster, up to like 50,000 kilowatts or something, and he could see a big hole that he could see people in another time frame through that hole. Now, that's what they're doing with CERN, the super collider in Switzerland, and they claim the one they built down there in Texas, south of Dallas, back in the 80s when I was living down there, they claim that they never opened that. I don't believe the bullshit. I believe it's open.
What was it called? It was called Looking Glass? Or what was it called?
The super collider in Switzerland, and then there was one built in Dallas, south of Dallas.
Okay, because they were picking up on me in Dallas. Because it started way back then, my targeting.
They're probably looking at space-time and saw what you were going to do. They're looking at everybody. There's too many people living today that have been targeted way back in the younger years.
Yeah.
I've come across a lot of them.
I was picking up on some bad energy when I lived in Dallas years ago, and I moved out of there. I just was getting away from the cold because I'm from Minneapolis, you know.
Exactly.
But I've been doing some research on this, brought this Khazarian Mafia, and I got this article here, and it says that this is what they've done so far. This is how evil these people are. And what they've accomplished in all over the world. Okay. So far, many nations, they have 30-plus overthrown of nations, mass murder of 25-plus million non-Khazars since World War II. Obama was involved in the mafia, going into Iraq, Afghanistan. There were seven that involved, like, you know, Obama and the prior... Probably Bush.
Hold a thought for just a second. Obama's presidential library was a donation from Norman Brownstein and Larry Mizell. That they gave him a $2.5 billion payment at the special dinner at the White House. The next day or two, he announces that he has the money for his presidential library in Chicago. Just thought I'd tell you.
Oh yeah. Well, Obama. I don't know why more soldiers are not talking about how bad it was under Obama. I mean, honestly, I guess they're afraid, but I mean, there's got to be more soldiers that had bad experiences like I had in Arizona, and they're just not talking. I mean, because there's so much that hasn't come out about what happened under him. There's one thing in particular that I want to mention that nobody is talking about yet, but it's going to come out, was that there was almost a nuclear missile that went off under Obama at the Davis-Monthan Air Base. There was 90 airmen. I found out about it because when I was in the Dakotas, I was up in North Dakota briefly, and I found out about it from some airmen from Minot, And they said that a nuclear missile almost went off at the Davis-Monthan Air Base in Montana under Obama, and a general stopped it, and then 90 airmen, and they were all under investigation. Like they did something wrong, not something right. Okay,
There were some nukes. There were some nukes that were stolen up there, and it may have been, it probably was underneath Obama, but they were transferred down, and the Air Force caught it, and they were being stolen, and they had the Air Force personnel involved, somebody that flew it down to another base down in, I don't know where it was, Tennessee or someplace, and they picked it up, and then they took it to Los Alamos and de-neutralized it.
They were trying to steal it. I don't think they were trying to...
They were passing it to Israel is what my
trying to steal
source
it.
Said. Yeah, they were stealing right. it. And Israel was going to be the recipient of it. Just like Israel, this mafia, there's 2,000 pounds of plutonium missing off of Rocky Flats nuclear arsenal in Boulder, Colorado. And guess what? Milman goes in and cleans it up. Flew on the hillside for $2.5 billion. His Citicorp, a subsidiary, was the cleanup, dumping it at the regular landfill up north in Greeley. Now, folks, that's illegal. And the area that they took it off between Boulder and there's a highway going down there to south, but it doesn't go east and west like 36, I think it is. There's another one. That's where it's supposedly spilled. It's one of the best views of Denver, Colorado. Guess who comes in? Richmond American Homes, MDC subsidiary, Larry Mizell, and he builds a huge subdivision on top of that so-called contaminated land. But how they shipped it was in cranberry juice trucks, because all across our highways we have detectors that detect nuclear material. Cranberries puts off the same thing as nuclear material does. So they shipped it to Apex, APEX Aviation in St. Louis, Missouri, and they shipped that 2,000 pounds to Israel. And it was Daddy Bush and Leonard Milman did it.
Yeah, that is just
like the biological chemical agents sold before the first Iraq war to Saddam Hussein was made in Fruta, Colorado, contaminated the Colorado River with red tide that showed up in Las Vegas when I was living out there. Because they were making it at Fruta in a pond, and they were assembling it in Boca Raton, Florida with Barbuti, the terrorist, has died on Interpol records twice. He's a coffee merchant in Jordan. I forgot the name of the town. But he's the one that put all that stuff together, and they were shipping in 55-gallon containers over to Israel. And Mercedes-Benz was involved in selling trucks that they made look like selling the United States, and they didn't, and they shipped it to Israel, and Israel shipped it to Saddam Hussein. The Khazarian Jews, and then they turn around during Gulf War I, they're shooting off Saddam Hussein, shooting off these missiles in the air, raining that chemical, which was anthrax, cyanide, HIV, hepatitis A, B, and or C, was inside those, and it was contaminating the troops, and they came back with Gulf War syndrome, having deformed babies. There's another high crime of your Jewish crime syndicate.
Yeah. There was people that got Gulf War syndrome. I had a friend who came back from the Minnesota Guard that got it. Yeah, and he went blind and then he died.
They anthraxed me and 28 other people, including Russell Welch, who died. Darlene Knobinger, FBI. Welch was a highway patrolman who I was hiding from the FBI. He was ahead of the highway patrolman investigating Clinton's and their drugs and guns. So that's how tight we all were. But boy, the only thing that saved us was doxycycline. 500 milligrams a day for 90 days. You could only get a prescription for 45. And you talk about something makes you sick. I was sick, crapping in my pants, sitting in a chair, 18 hours a day of sleep, crawl the bathroom, rinse off, scrub down, try, go back in and try to eat something. And that's what went on for 45 days. And that's
What did they hit me
with anthrax, locked me up in a Cork jail cell on a false charge of trespass upon a paid telephone at a gas station.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Oh,
they were going to put me out of business. And I was tested 2 days later, and I tested up with anthrax, and they called CDC, and CDC doesn't have any record of it.
Oh Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Now, Darlene Novinger, she got hit, her whole house. Russell Welch, he was a highway patrolman. Oh, God, there were 28 of us that got hit between 1994 and 1996, and half of them died.
Wow. You just have so many stories of how you made it through all these things.
Like, hey, when you're a whistleblower, they're always, pardon the expression, effing, trying to F you. They never leave you alone. They're satanic in nature, and they're insane.
Well, okay, bringing up anthrax, this brings me to my post office subject that I was telling you about earlier. They're targeting me through the post office, okay, and they're tampering with my mail. I've talked about this in my videos before, and this is very concerning to me. And then you call this, I had my mail tampered with for years. You know, even either I don't get it, or it'll be damaged. Things will be damaged when it arrives to me, or when I send something out. And I call this hotline. Okay, so if they're tampering with my mail, okay, if they can get into my mail this easily, which I believe is the CIA has infiltrated the post office.
They have the inspector general. They're called the inspector general's offices. Is how they have infiltrated the inspector general for your district.
Thinking is that how easy it would be for us all to be poisoned through the mail. If the CIA has infiltrated the
I don't open any mail that, you know, is a bogus mail coming to me. It gets thrown in the trash.
And either, but it could happen.
Yeah, they could do it easily enough.
With as much mail tampering as I have going on still, that means that the CIA has infiltrated the post office. I just had one tampered with last week, and I'm documenting everything, and I'm interviewing people at these. It was, you know, one of the suburbs, and they said, well, everything, you know, goes through the main post office, you know, from here. So it's somebody at the main post office in Minneapolis that's corrupted.
Well, they've got this country infiltrated. Now, Joe, you're aware of this, how bad it is. Why don't you kick in on this?
My mail has been tampered with since 2013. So this is...
Continue on, Debbie. Continue on so you can tell your story.
Finish the fact of the Khazarian Mafia, what you were talking about, the different things.
Let Debbie continue, Stu.
Okay.
Because she had a whole lot of things she wanted to say.
Yeah.
Okay, well, let me continue what I was reading about the Khazarian Mafia. Okay, so we got the set. I'm just reading a document that I looked up. I've been researching this, and it said that they've been involved in 7 wars. It was the Iraq War, Afghanistan, Libya, Somalia, Yemen, Ukraine, and Pakistan. Mass murders of 250,000 plus Syrians using depleted uranium and WMDs on children and causing a mass migration to Europe from Libya and Syria, eventually dividing and conquering Europe. This is the Khazarian cabal. They've been responsible for the takedown of over like centuries of like any good president in any country. This is all of our enemies. This is the enemy of the humanity here. This is the Khazarian Mafia. They rule financially the world by creating and lending fiat take money at pernicious user interest to buy up bribery of any politician and media asset and military leaders and bureaucrats, lobbyists, think tanks, university professors, and corporate managers. Also using blackmail, threats, intimidation, and murder to control anyone in power. So that, you know, that's also like what happened at Epstein, right?
That's what it was, gasoline and Epstein. They were Mossad.
They were blackmailing the politicians there into, right, in recording them if they had, you know.
So was Jack Abramoff. He was running a whorehouse of them, too, out of Washington, D.C. Go ahead and put Jack Abramoff on my website. He was part of it, and he was running it. There's the evidence.
Yeah.
Whorehouses of kids. It's like Jim Rothstein. I've had him on. He was a New York cop. We go way back to 1990. And Margie Sloan and Al Martin, Iran-Contra whistleblower, everybody. I've had Jim on. And he's talked about it. He was the one that exposed finders. And this phony baloney, Ted Gunderson, runs out and starts saying stuff that he put it out. Go ahead, Joe, or Debbie.
Let me finish what she's doing, okay?
Yeah, we just, well, I mean, he just has his input, which is very, very, amazingly, it's amazing that you're alive. But, I mean, I'll just continue reading the article. So at the very top of this mafia, they run most of the world through the system of three key interlocked private nation states: the City of London Financial District, Washington, D.C., and the Vatican. They promote destruction through globalization and impoverishment of all non-Khazarian humanity. So, basically, Christians, for sure, are persecuted by them. And they create a mafia world dictatorship, otherwise known as the New World Order. Okay? And this is the war that we're in against Ukraine right now. This article is talking about, is calling them the Babylonian British Rothschild Zeo Mafia. Okay, so then I'm like, Babylonian. So they were, this goes way back to the biblical days, that they were the Babylonians that were trying to build the tower to Babel, to the Babylonian tower.
Yeah.
Struck them down because they didn't want to have relationship with God. They thought, well, we'll just build a tower in heaven. We don't need God. And then God struck them down. These are the Babylonians. And they're apparently the descendants of the fallen angels. They're the Amorites. So these are, this is apparently what's left over in the Ukraine. So these are they're also called the Amorites. So it goes way back to that. Okay, and so what else does it have to say here? There's a lot. This is a big article, but 90% reduction of the, okay, this is their end game, right? 90% reduction of the world's population, fake wars, civil wars caused by mixing races using immigration, GMO, poisonous vaccines, toxic big pharma drugs, poison of air and water, technology-induced previously natural catastrophes, weather-induced famines and starvation, nuke-related disasters, and other technologies of destruction. They also are involved in mind-transforming the mainstream media, destruction of natural human institutions such as family, sexual roles, basic rights, corruption of morality, the political correctness agenda to destroy common decency, over 50 transsexual and intersexual roles accepted for children and adults, says the Zeo Mafia, proliferated pornography, drugs, crime, constant murders, and perversions of every kind. This is our enemy of humanity. This is our real enemy of the whole world, these people who are after in Ukraine right now. They standard stock, they are the ones who are behind mind control. It's these people. They create mass chaos, death, suffering, disability, and destruction, like what happened in Libya and Syria, with the living fleeing for their lives, with what I really can carry, or perhaps fake nuke wars, World War III that kills billions. The unexpected victory of Donald Trump due to an explosive emergence of massive populism. Suddenly fighting in the mainstream media is just more distraught. Okay. What we will soon know as Trump settles in front of you is, let's see. Trump is about a part of rebuilding America. He's in rebuilding America's systems and new industries and jobs. And my understanding is that it's the American troops and Russian troops and Putin and Trump that are working together with trying to take down the Khazarian mafia right now. But I think he's working with Putin and the Russian troops. And try to take them down because they're the ones who control the mainstream media. So we'll never be able to have real news until these people can take it down. That's my understanding. So.
You want to comment, Joe?
No, it's doing fine. To help out people who might be new to this type of information, Preston James, who is Stu's close friend, Stu was at one time working with Preston James over at Veterans Today. And Preston James had not posted in a long time, but if you go over to Veterans Today and go down to the list of editors and look up Preston James, Preston James has done the best on explaining the origins and what they are doing now. It's about the Khazarian Mafia. Just go to Veterans Today, go look up the editors, find Preston James, and read all of his articles that he has done on the Khazarian Mafia.
By the way, I'm going to mention that news site. There's some people up there. Jim Fetzer quit it. I quit it. But there's some people in there. It's run by spooks. And it's trying to keep the veterans at bay. But you are correct about Preston's work. People need to look at it. Now, Joe, you're aware of politics in Arizona. Now, isn't this one of the places that they had mass voter fraud?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Talk about it for a minute.
And the powers that be in the state of Arizona shut it down. In other words, when they completed the investigation, they would not let the things that they found, the Board of Trustees, shut it down and said, that's it, the more, gone. And they never got beyond. I mean, they did the investigation and they did find fraud, but they didn't put any news out on it because the Arizona Board of Supervisors said, no, it's ours now, give it over.
Yeah, they didn't let that come out. Well, Senator Wendy Davis certified it. I saw a video where she actually certified it, like some senator certified it, but it never came out in the news. They certified that Trump had actually won. When Senator Wendy Davis, she put a video out. But then it got hush-hushed.
Like so, I said, what people needed was the data that they found that was wrong, that was fraud. They did not let that data out.
Yep.
They've done this in several states now.
Everybody said, that's it, we're closing it down. But it was an effort. It was a good effort. I'm glad they did it by the Arizona Board of Supervisors shutting it down proves the point.
And again, I believe it was the Khazarian Mafia trying to shut that down, don't you?
Well, the thing of it is the network and the names and things like that, I'm sure that, that there is that connection because, in my opinion, as some of my friends have said, when John McCain was alive, he was on that phone every day talking to Larry Mizell in Denver.
Oh, wow. So this article mentions John McCain. I'm just reading more here. Treasonous and traitorous senators John McCain and Lindsey Graham continually display their loss of credibility and push false flag fake rumors.
By the way, Lindsey Graham likes men, not women.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Weirdo.
I don't trust him because he was too close with McCain, so it's amazing how they can stand an aggressive camera and tell their lies and propaganda after they, with Hillary Clinton, helped create ISIS out of AQ, which Brzezinski and Democrats created in 1980s to fight the Jewish-run USSR in Afghanistan, all done with support from this mafia, Khazarian mafia-run CIA, U.S. and Mossad, Israeli, M6, U.K. and Saudis. Yet they have the duplicity to constantly accuse Assad and Iran of creating these fake mercenary CIA-induced wars. apparently, this Khazarian mafia apparently hijacked America in 1913 with the Federal Reserve Central Bank. just prior to a Christmas vacation when most of the members of Congress were already gone. The Federal Reserve is not a bank nor a reserve and is not part of U.S. government and has never been audited. It gave at least $17 trillion of Americans' wealth to Zio Mafia banksters around the world and still wants to rob the $2 trillion in Social Security. They're trying to rob our Social Security now. The FRS is the root cause of unleashed on America and so much of the world illegal, undeclared, unconstitutional, unwinnable, perpetual wars. They create billions of debt slaves around the world and worldwide debt bomb designed to destroy every society. Nice people, huh?
Same ones that were involved in all the financial scandals and ran off with the loot. And here's an example, folks. In 1981, the General Accounting Office, the watchdog for the U.S. Congress and Senate, who get their numbers from the Treasury and the Comptroller of Currency and the IRS, etc., on the economy and who's controlling what. What percent of people are controlling what? When Daddy Bush arrived as vice president before he looted the country, him and Milman and the Khazarian Mafia, Kissinger and the rest of them, 20% of the U.S. economy straight across the board, the GDP, I think they call it, straight across the board, they reported that 20% of the economy was controlled by 1% of the population, and that 99% of the American businesses, or 99% of the population, controlled 80% of the small mom-pop businesses and other large businesses in America. Then they ran the numbers, the General Accounting Office did, of course, every year, but they ran it in 2012. And they found out after bank bailout and the robbing and looting of this country, which are the same boys out of Denver, that they found out that now it's 400 men, folks, 400 men as of 2012, control 95% of the U.S. economy. I'll repeat that. 400 men control 95% of the U.S. economy. And the two clowns in Denver, Larry Mizell, the APEC director, and the APEC director, Norman Brownstein, the attorneys, both graduated as attorneys. One went in the building business in 1972. And then the other one becomes Milman's attorney. Then they become Daddy Bush's CIA counsel. Now, they are in control of 98% of the pension funds through Fidelity Financial of Denver and Great West Life of Denver, which has a subsidiary company here in near me in Overland Park, Kansas, that bought J.P. Morgan to get them enough money to pay their fine. They bought their pension fund. They were controlling about 42% of the U.S. pension funds, and Fidelity was controlling about 48%. Now they're in control of nearly all the pension funds in America. The numbers have risen. That is where the money is now. And they're going around stealing people's houses because they got an equity and they're claiming that they own their home. And they don't. And they've created four monster RITs, real estate investment trusts, that are the ones involved going in and with attorneys and taking people's homes from them because they're carrying the mortgage on it anyway and they want to steal the equity. That's one of their biggest, latest theft games they're doing. You want to comment on that, Joe or Debbie?
Yeah, I don't have.
Joe, do you want to touch on anything?
Yeah, I do, Stu.
Go ahead.
So this is for Debbie and for some of you out there. Let's see if I can find this quickly enough. If you go to a handout of Article 1, Section 1, United States Congress, I mean of the Constitution. Let me see if I can find this real quick because it's, it'll explain why the Federal Reserve, which is the heart of the Khazarian Mafia's means of retaining its power. All right, now, this is from Article 1, and you can get the citizen rule books, which are very good. It only costs about $1. And it's it lists in print for you the Constitution.
I've got one.
And so, consequently, if you go to Article 1, Section 9, the fourth full paragraph, the words say, no commutation or other direct tax. Now, let me say that again. No capitation or direct tax. In other words, the key word here is direct tax. There is to be no direct tax that should be laid on your properties, mainly your money. In other words, it's against the Constitution for you to be taxed on your money. That is why the Federal Reserve Act was not properly ratified. It was never ratified. And so all of the money that you pay on your income tax, none of it goes to the government. It all goes to the Federal Reserve to pay for the interest on the loans that were made by the United States government. In other words, the government, through the Treasury Department, gives the paper and ink to the Federal Reserve, which prints up the money. They take that money and then give it back to the government with interest. Get that with interest. And biblically speaking, there's not supposed to be usury. The tradition of this country is not to, because we are a Christian country, you are not to have usury, interest. And so that is why the Federal Reserve is absolutely 110% unconstitutional. No. But any time you sign a W-2 form, you make a contract with the IRS, and you have to pay it, and if you don't, you get prosecuted.
Now, the Federal Reserve was taken over by a corporation called Blackstone BlackRock, which was a spinoff of drug money out of Silverado Savings Loan of Denver. And it was created back in 1978, I think it was. Or, yeah, 1978, I think is when they created it. And I forgot the guy's name, but he sits on the board of directors of Council of Foreign Relations. And that drug money was invested in real estate heavily, in apartments, in new shopping centers, etc., and controlled by the boys in Denver, the mob. And Blackstone, or BlackRock, whichever it was, one of them went, there was a corporation tied to them out of Denver once again, that after they took over the Federal Reserve, by the way, under the Trump administration, before that, they were the ones that were in charge, Blackstone, BlackRock, of investigating the bank bailout themselves. And now they control all the money, the Federal Reserve and all the banks. I mean, it's ridiculous, okay? And Mnuchin was up there at the Treasury playing their game. He was a former Sachs boy that was involved in the mortgage fraud and the whole bit. But even under Trump, he didn't even know, I think, he didn't know, or maybe he did know, what was going on in reality. But the corporation that's involved with Blackstone, BlackRock, there was a big belly up in 1997, and it's up on my site. If you punch in BlackRock, Blackstone, you'll see another corporation that ended up buying the Panama Canal after they invaded Panama, the Khazarians did illegally, and took over Noriega's drug trade is what they did, because Noriega, what he had done, folks, is he nationalized their hotels. There were two Hilton hotels. One belonged to Daddy Bush, and the other one belonged to Leonard Melman. And he nationalized them after he said, no, you're not going to have more cut of my drug money. We're shipping the drugs to you. So Bill Barr and them got them to do an invasion of Panama illegally. And Noriega, by the way, I had a source that was locked up with Noriega and the whole bit. And I also have sources that were involved in the invasion and other things that went on. But Super Spook Otis Johnson said, Stu, you need to go up on the Trump Organization. And I said, yeah, Trump Org. And he says, punch in his Panama Hotel. That's the one that Leonard Melman used to own. And after Melman died, he turns around the family estate, Alan Clarsh, the attorney for it, the brother-in-law, he turns around and cuts a deal with Donald Trump, I'll finance you 100% on it, give you the money to fix it up and everything else, and with no recall note. Trump says in his interview up on his org, he said, this was the best deal I ever did. And here it was Leonard Melman and Daddy Bush that cratered him on his four buildings over there in Atlantic City, because he went in there, built a hotel, he got the money, put up the first one. He was super successful as a businessman running his casino, and he was taking the money from them because they own Atlantic City. So they turned around and they made him loans through their insurance companies and a couple banks. And then they turned around and called the notes on him. And it was Henry Kissinger that ran to his aid through Deutsche Bank of Germany. He's the one that bailed him out. But Milman and them got the hotels back. Those are the ones that Hillary Clinton stood in front and said, oh, look, he bankrupted on his people. Now, when someone calls your note, the bank is obligated to pay the subcontractors for the work they've already performed. They never got paid. Just thought I'd throw a tidbit in.
Because this is what Sue is doing and what Debbie is trying to talk about in what is called the Tsarian Mafia. Here you have names of bigwigs that are the Tsarian Mafia, and Stu is describing some of their past deeds. How does the Tsarian Mafia work? Well, Stu is describing it for you. Even though this happened a long time ago, it is a description of how and what they, in other words, what does their operation look like? What do they do? Well, Stu has just described just a small picture of it, just a small one. And it will give you an idea of how the Tsarian Mafia works. You have just heard right now just some of their past deeds. That's what they do.
Yeah. Well, we've been being stolen from for years. You know, I mean, basically, bottom line. And I'm sick of it, being targeted. And so, you know, God says in Proverbs 6:31, when the thief is discovered, he shall repay seven times what he has stolen and must give back all property. So I'm just decreeing that.
I hear
all
that.
Right. I encourage all of you, if you want to use the term Tsarian Mafia, Stu and I didn't use this way back in 2013 and around in there, but Tsarian Mafia is okay to use. If you want to get a origin, a history of how it got started in its tiny inception, Preston Brown gives a good history on that. And it'll clarify it for you, name the names, and give the dates. Go ahead, Deborah.
Apparently, like I said, it went way back to Babylon and the Babylon Talmudists. But it wasn't King Nebuchadnezzar. I was reading just this part of it here where it says, the origins. Okay, Babylon was founded in 2300 BC. That's when this happened to by Amorite chief Sumo Agam in 1894 BC. It was the oldest, largest, and arguably most massive structure in Mesopotamian history. It was the temple of Enki, Sumerian lord of the earth, god of wisdom, magic, and exorcism. The Sumerian Elkin god. I don't know. They know these people. And it was built near a swamp with snakes. Important in Mesopotamian region, as of late Nebuchadnezzar's time, the kings of Babylon sometimes referred to themselves as snakes, king of, I don't know, something like that. So that's a little bit more history of it. Snake people. The Tower of Babel was humanity's attempt to force its way back into the divine council. At Babel, mankind tried to storm the castle of God. Life after Eden must have been a crushing disappointment for early humans, especially the first one.
the realization where they had disappointed their creator and condemned humanity. So this is what, when they attempted, that's why attempted apparently to build this. It's because they knew that they were separated, you know, from the, you know, they had, and it, you know, whatever. I guess the snake people corrupted the Eden, is kind of my understanding. And, you know, the snake enticed Eve to eat the apple, and then, you know, it all started going downhill from there, I guess, right? You know, there's different, you know, interpretations of what happened.
Do you want to touch on that, Joe?
The best that I have come across is described that there was the world before Adam, but I won't go into that because that's another long
story. But it is in Genesis, because my father brought it up to me, Joe, and we talked about it earlier. There were, what, 7 floods?
Well, let's not go into it right now. So the point being here is, what is the origin of evil? The origin of evil is simply put, for the sake of time, fallen angels. But we won't go into that story because that's another long story. If you want to go read it, go get the Book of Enoch by Elizabeth Clare Private. I'm not pushing her society, but that's the best book to get a hold of that will help you explain the origin of evil, the Book of Enoch. Now, essentially it was that Gradriel laid with Eve and produced Cain.
That's what I heard too. I heard
crazy. All right. Now, let's keep it up focused here. Gradriel, the fallen angel, Gradriel laid with Eve, producing Cain. Then Adam laid with Eve and produced Abel. Abel was of the good seed.
Mm-hmm.
Cain was of the bad seed. That is why Cain slew Abel.
Mm-hmm. First killer.
Okay. I'll just leave it at that point and just let, and you don't want to get right now into the lineage of that, because that goes off into another big story. But that will essentially tell you how things came to be here it is on this earth.
There's the two bloodlines.
Mm-hmm. And the two bloodlines. Now, that's another story, Debbie. That is another story. There's a lot of conflicting things that go on with that. But if you, I can't think of his name right now. I would say that I'm trying to think of goes over that. It's called the Adamic world. And so, anyway, again, Gradriel laid with Eve, producing Cain. Adam laid with Eve and produced Abel.
Mm-hmm.
Thus, the conflicting seed bloodlines. Now, we won't go too much more into that because there's a lot of rules that will lead to that goes on forever. But just keep that thought in mind about the origin of the evil, and it culminates today in the things like what we call the Babylonian banking system, which simply means we create money out of nothing. It's not backed by gold or any other thing. It is just created out of money. Here it is. I'm giving you $10,000.
Mm-hmm.
And that is why it is not God's money, because God's money is gold. And if you go to the Constitution, if you go into the United States Code, it will define what is money. It defines it very well. And it is 1/35th of an ounce of gold. That's money. It can't be any other thing. That is why Larry Mizell does what he does. And the entire Khazarian Mafia, that's what they do. Because they create, which Babylon represents. represents everything that is contrary to God.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Yeah.
So leave it at that simple point, and what it is creating money out of nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And money in the United States Code is 1/35 of an ounce of gold. And that is why Roosevelt is called the butcher of the United States, because of what he did to violate the Constitution. And he did. Nobody called him on it. So there it is.
Yep.
1/35 of an ounce of gold, and that is real money, and that is why we're in the predicament that they are today. And they want it that way.
No.
And if they were going to even make it even worse, because they're going to go to a government, that is why they're doing all of these crazy things, like shutting down businesses and then giving out stimuluses. Out of money, out of nothing, people getting $1,400. I know two people that live in Mexico and are Mexican citizens, and they came out here and got $1,400.
Mm-hmm.
We can't do that without, because inflation is, this is the best definition of Babylonian money. In 1932, the dollar itself was, think of 100% and 1%. 100% being very powerful, 1% being no power, okay? So what it means is this: in 1932, the dollar had 99% purchasing power. In 1932, the dollar had 99% purchasing power. In 1972, it had a purchasing power of 25%. Get it? The purchasing power became less and less and less and less. And that was demonstrated by more and more and more money that had no value in it out there in a dollar bill. And now the purchasing power of the dollar is less than 0.1%. And they're doing this on purpose because they're going to go to a digital currency. And then they'll have control over everything. And then if you don't do what they tell you, they will shut off your bank account and you will not have any access to anything to go buy food.
That's what it's coming down to.
That brings us to one big thing right now, very, very, very important. And that is the COVID. Now listen to my words. COVID shot. I did not say vaccine, because COVID are five letters taken from scientific words to make it an acronym. C period, O period, D period, I period, D period. 19. That means inside of that shot are certain nanotechnologies that manipulate your DNA. Think of that.
Mm-hmm.
And so when it manipulates your DNA, it causes your immune system to produce spike proteins. And these spike proteins have these little spikes, little burrs, and they go into your bodily organs and leave these spurs, and it begins to tear the tissue. And then you begin to have heart bleeds and other things like that, and then you die. And all of the people that are in the hospital today are not suffering from a COVID germ or a COVID virus. They are suffering from the shot that they had, and which manipulated their DNA. And now we're saying, right up to now, they're saying we're up to 2 million people who have died in the United States alone from that shot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. very dangerous. But we have to stop these people and expose them before it gets any worse, and which is what we're trying to do with these shows and our, right?
That is correct, and behind this, every one of the big pharmaceuticals that are producing this are headed by Jews.
The Khazarian Jews.
Mm-hmm. The Khazarian Mafia.
Yeah, so they specifically targeted the Jews and became the bad Jews to try to make the Jews look bad, I think.
That's another issue, but let's just put that.
Okay.
Let's simply say that this is to depopulate the world. Klaus Schwab, whose mother is Jewish, which makes him Jewish, Klaus Schwab has said, because he represents the Ruth Child family, he has come out and said, we are going to lower the population of the United States down to 100 million by 2025.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And think of what is happening in Australia, where they're dragging them off to camps. The same thing in Canada.
Mm-hmm. It's
so it's a very, very, very scary thing. So there you have it. That is a weapon of the Khazarian Mafia. Is the COVID shot, not vaccine. And the reason that I know these little tiny bats is because I got to know a little bit of Dr. Judy Lipovitz, who was one of the top people at the CDC, who was one of the originators of this program.
Well, it's a bioweapon, not a vaccine.
You just said it exactly right. It is a bioweapon, and we have a Babylonian economy.
Mm-hmm.
Because our money is not based on 1/35 of an ounce of gold.
Now,
yeah. Well,
we're living basically, we can point and say, okay, there's a lot of end time prophecies here. We can start in Revelations 13 and move forward. I can tell you what Super Spook told me. Otis Johnson, and he was at the NSA, folks. And he kept you safe at night. He told me, before he was murdered, Stonard caused him a heart attack. He was working for General Flynn. He says, don't worry about Mueller, Stu. He says, if he doesn't do his job, he'll find himself in a prison cell. He felt that. And then General Flynn was arrested 2 weeks later. He told me, he said about the fallen angels, he said, Stu, he says, the aliens that they made the agreement with in 1952 had to register who they were possessing. He said they made a list of 200,000 of them. And he said they've cloned in Hope, Arkansas, that you and Rodney Bowers with the Arkansas Democrat Gazette exposed. The cloning operation, he said, they cloned, registered 10 million clones. They look like humans. But he said, I and others that you know at the NSA, my friends, I'd been at a pool party. He had a couple of his buddies in. Great talk. Point is, he said, we believe that they're up to 20 to 30 million clones out of Hope, Arkansas. And he said they've replaced and chipped. He said they've chipped six of every 10 congressmen and senators have been chipped. When they make a trip to Israel, they chip them. And then they come back and they're chipped up. And he said the others in the Congress and Senate, most of them are clones. He said that's how bad it is. And I said, in other words, these things are in power all over the world. They're the presidents of all these countries and stuff. He goes, no, Stu, not true. He says Trump isn't possessed. He says he's not evil either. But he said he's got aides around him who are. And he said they're the ones that advise him. And the same way with other countries. If their leaders aren't possessed, their aides that are next to them telling them what to do. Now these fallen angel possessed human beings can read a mind, folks. They can read your mind. They got extra senses. They got a 7th, 8th, clear up to 13 different senses, is my understanding. And so they're walking along, and I decide to kill Leonard Beltman, that's already dead. And I see him in New York, and I'm standing up on a 50-story building with about 10 other people, and we got blocks we're going to drop on his head. And we start dropping them, and all of a sudden he gets a sense, and he steps out of the way. This is the fallen angel-possessed human beings. I named him earlier the 12 disciples of Satan. So I thought I'd tell you, we are up against, as Otis said, the government calls them aliens, but he says, the government calls them aliens, but he says, I'm in agreement with you. They're the fallen angels. So, with that said, Debbie, Joe, I'm running out of time on the show today. And I want you to add your last words. And Debbie, you give out your website too.
Spirits produced, I don't know, just recently, but a person downloaded before they yanked it off. It's called Breaking Ice. And in there, you hear Britney say these words, I'm being tired of being cloned. I witnessed that video.
Now,
called Breaking Ice. I'll say that again. Somebody out there was at the right place at the right time, downloaded this posted video by Britney Spears. It's called Breaking Ice. It's been yanked off. And in there, you hear her say, I'm tired of being cloned.
Good point, Joe. Debbie?
Well, there is why. Now, I did this, and I've said this before many times on the air. I Googled, the fallen angels are reptilians. It came back. It said, the fallen angels take the appearance of serpentines. Later, I tried to get that and retrieve it back. I could not. I'll say that again. I Googled, the fallen angels take the form of reptilians. It came back and said, the fallen angels take the form of serpents. When I tried to recover that, several times I could not get it. In other words, the reasoning and the algorithms that are out there to catch things like that caught it. Now I'm going to say one more thing. This is the warning of the movie Apocalypto by Mel Gibson, because he has identified the Khazarian Mafia. And who runs Hollywood? That movie in there shows the Mayans doing human sacrifice. Why? Because the fallen angel has to have that life in the blood. Because God said, do not drink human blood because, or an animal's blood, because the life is in the blood. And because the fallen angels have cut themselves off from God, their life force is diminished. So they have to have an outside source. And that outside source is human beings. And that leads to the word Satanism. Because the word Satan means adversary, and it should be plural, Satan's, not Satan. And that will tell you why you have all these missing children all over the world, because they are sacrificed for the life that is in their blood, and it takes it into their bodies, their reptilian or their serpentine body. There you have it, right there.
Now, Joe, you're aware, because you go into prayer on satanic holidays and the full moons and you in a group and you're prayer warriors. Now, You've experienced some things that have been phenomenal, I've heard about over the years. But you're also familiar with the Old Navarre, which is across from the Brown Palace in Denver, where on the summer and winter solstices, they do human sacrifices. Now, these are the 12 disciples of Satan come together and do this, and Satan himself appears. Now, how I learned about this was I was standing on a mountain one time, and asked a spook, and we're out there in Colorado, nothing around, no cell phones back then or anything, and we're having a powwow at somebody's house up in the mountain. And I asked him, I said, well, where are they doing this human sacrifice? He says, I can't tell you. I said, why not? He said, because they run back in tattletale. I said, what do you mean, run back tattletale? I said, you talk about demons or something? He says, yeah. He said, get me in trouble. Then later, after I'd met Otis Johnson, he shared with me about Milman after his death. And said, you didn't know that he owned one-third of the largest shipping company in the world. That's something you were missing. But he says, let me tell you something about these people. He says, Stu, he said, when I was direct, he was direct assistant to William Casey, the CIA director at the time that Daddy Bush was vice president. William Casey decided to rat out Daddy Bush and what the Khazari mafia had done, robbing and looting the country. Here was the point. Otis told me he had to go get an order signed by Casey with Daddy Bush. And Daddy Bush was out at the Old Navarre. And he took a special jet out there. They took him. And he went to get the order signed because they had to be immediately signed. So he takes it in and he says, he's told to go through the Brown Palace Hotel down by the restrooms in the Ship's Tavern. And there's an extra door. Go through it, goes to a tunnel across the way, and pound on the door, and someone will come to the door. He does, big guy, big guard, asks him what he wants. He shows his identity and says, I have to see the vice president, or president, George Herbert Walker Bush. So Bush comes to the door after he tells him his name. He comes to the door, and he says, what do you want, Otis? He says, I got to have this order signed. It's top secret. He looks at it. He said, Mr. President, or whatever, he says, you're going to pull your hood back so I can see your face to verify it's you. He did. And Otis is looking around the room, and he's seeing him drinking the blood of a baby. And he says, Otis, if you ever tell anybody what you've seen in this room, he says, I will personally come kill you. He says, yes, sir, and he left. Now, Casey decided he was going to go before the Congress and rat out Daddy Bush and what he had done. Casey shows up that morning at his home, and he pokes him in the temple, in his temple with a needle while two goons held him down in his chair. He had a cerebral hemorrhage. He goes to Bethesda. They closed the floor off above him and below him. He was in there. Otis visited him. So did the other assistant to Casey, visited him, of which Casey told him what had happened. Now, they told the nurses and the doctors for 10 days he was alive or whatever, everything Bush had done. All the doctors and nurses that were working on him and on that floor 24/7 all ended up suicided with shotguns or guns to their mouth and or car or rollover car crashes within 6 months. Just thought I'd throw that out there. We're up against a bunch of animals, are we not, Debbie and Joe?
Let me explain, and then we'll bring this all to an end, and Debbie can finish what she wants to say. What is being called satanic holidays are really the equinoxes and the solstice. That's it. And they are a natural event. But what they do is they sacrifice and put that negative energy into what we call the ley lines, which go all over the earth. And because we have lines of meridian in our feet, it connects to the earth. And that influence enters us. And one of the places where they have a big sacrifice is Arden, Delaware, and Rose Valley. Because the Arcadian ley line, which goes all the way down to Mexico, the Valley of the Sun, Valley of the Moon, where they do still sacrifices to this day. Make no mistake about it, they do. And they influence that flow of energy, and that energy goes up into you. There's only one thing that stops it, and that's the blood of Jesus Christ. And you call on that blood, and it works.
Dog's barking something there. Yeah. Debbie, are you there? Debbie? I think we lost her, Joe. See, I heard a blurb 10 minutes ago, and I thought maybe it's her phone, because she had problems with her phone earlier today.
Yeah.
So, anyway.
I think we're calling to an end, Stu.
Sounds good to me. Joe, I want to thank you very much, and I thank Debbie, even though she's not here, because she had a lot to add. But, folks, whatever you do, don't take the shot. And, Joe, have a good afternoon. Thank you.
All right.
Bye.